9:40 wins, 12:30 The Zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Now, you do a lot of podcasting, and you're very diverse in the things that you cover, including one with basketball star Kyrie Irving. You know, we picture Kyrie Irving lighting incense and chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. What was it like? I mean, the conversation with Kyrie Irving, especially in matters of astronomy.
Here's the thing with Kyrie Irving. So as you may know, and of course, if you knew enough that much about him, you would know that for a while there, he was a big fan of the flat Earth. And so my response to that is, by the way, we care about Kyrie Irving because he's good at basketball. So people say, oh, you should not talk about a flat Earth. And I'm saying, I don't care if Kyrie Irving wants a flat Earth. He's a basketball player. There's plenty of jobs you can have in this world while you think Earth is flat. Just don't let the head of NASA be among them, right? Just you live in a free country. You should be able to say what you want. And so I wasn't as distracted as other people were. I don't get my science from Kyrie Irving, and I'm not going to get basketball lessons from the head of NASA, period. So that's how I look at it.
From South Florida to the entire world, thank you to the iHeartRadio app. Here is Defo joined by Luby on The Defo Show.
You would have to say that Kyrie Irving appeared to subscribe to some either unfounded or unsound concepts, no? Mike Libby-Libbets?
Yes.
Thinking that the Earth was indeed flat. Now, we know that not to be the case, right? All you had to do was fly up there with Richard Branson, and the average citizen could see, hey, what's that round thing down there? Looks like Earth. Although it looked like scorched earth, usually during the British Open. This was, I should just try to hitch a ride with Bezos when he goes up into space and have him drop me off on, like, Pluto after the gambling weekend that I had. I mean, it was just truly disgusting. I remember being at the Belmont Stakes circa 1973. My friend Cliff Keller and I went out there, and there was Big Red, the Big Red Machine, Secretariat. Now, I had bet against Secretariat, of course, in my Mr. Contrarian position. I mean, it was a cinch. There really was no great buzz in betting Secretariat unless you were just going to save the ticket, right, Luby? Would you be inclined to do that? You would not be inclined to put a $2 wager on Secretariat knowing that he had no chance to do anything but win the Belmont Stakes and the Triple Crown that year. And that would be just to have the ticket and frame it and put it up on a wall somewhere, even though it was only worth like $2.20. Would you invest in that? Be kind of a cool thing to have, would it not, if you stuck around with that? But at the time, right, you would have needed the 220, especially having put up $2 of your own money. So you would have been inclined to cash that ticket. I went against Secretariat that day, and I remember my friend saying, look at that. There's something out there, but like 25 lengths. We're watching on the turn there. We were standing down by the rail. And I'm like a fool, feeling like a complete, I don't know, rhymes would pass, right? You could just take the P off there. As I'm screaming, die already! Die already! Secretariat hoping that somebody would pass this horse who had a 30-length lead on the field. And you just feel like a fool rooting for the absurd. And the only thing worse would be rooting for a wager that you don't have. It's kind of like, and it's the old highlight concept that happened to me over the weekend, where you're rooting for the three in the first round, but you're rooting against them in the second round. Perfect sport for South Florida and the South Florida sports fan, but I thought I had Wiesthazen in the British Open, and I didn't. And I was stunned to find out that as my friend Chip sent me back my entry form in the British Open pool, that I had circled Shoffley instead, who was the name underneath Wiesthazen. So now I'm rooting for Usti the first couple of rounds, and now I have to root against him. Every single shot that he takes, it's like, miss it, Shorty, miss it! Had I made two moves, I would have been right there. I would have had the top four guys because Rahm rallied. Wow, he came back from the grave in that thing, much like the Milwaukee Bucks, speaking of coming back from the grave. And we have so much evidence there that the Bucks were going to come back and probably win the next four games just based on the people who were of the opinion that that could never happen, that they wouldn't even win one, including, as mentioned, in the Deal Volkswagen DeForest Files. Is that a distinction to have your name mentioned in the DeForest Files, Mike Luby-Lubitz, would you say?
Yeah, I guess.
Depends on the context, of course. In this case, it was somewhat disparaging light, although we love 220 Tommy, great guy and big fan of the show, huge wrestling fan, and we love this guy. But as soon as he declared that the Suns would sweep after they were up 2-0, they haven't sniffed a win since. and it looks like they may be going down in six games. All right, we have these Marlin tickets to give away. You ready for that, Mike Luby-Lewitz?
Yeah, sure, definitely.
Wanted to get to that right away. Marlin ticket giveaway. All right, here's the phone number to call. How are we going to do this? By first person? You don't want to filter through like 20 telephone calls, do you?
That'd make my life a lot easier.
First person. First person that wants it. Now, do we ask this person to make a cameo on the air, or do we just forget about that? Not required, okay? Let's do it that way.
Yeah, that's fine.
But if you'd like to say something on the air, I just realized this, too, as I was freshening up during the break there, Luby. I just realized this month marks 40 years in South Florida, and I would say I've been broadcasting in some capacity here virtually the entire time. 40 years of broadcasting in South Florida. How about that, Mike Luby-Lewitz? And also, we're in our now, 12th year on the air. 12th year on the air we get into, but 40 years of broadcasting here in South Florida, and I love giving stuff away. I still do. So we have a four-pack of tickets for the Marlins game coming up this Friday night against the Padres. This Friday night against the Padres, that would be the 23rd, and you can win that four-pack of tickets by being the first caller to 866-801-0940, 866-801-0940. It's that simple, and if you'd like to say something on the air, hey, congratulations, Steve, 40 years, man, that's a long time. It is a long time. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. I have to say, I was thinking this, Luby, and I don't know if you ever had this thought occur to you, because your job is more like a real job, but I would have not done well in my 70 years on this planet if I ever had to work a real job. And that was on rare occasions that I was involved in any kind of 9-to-5 type of setup. And when it did happen, I was absolutely tormented by it. So I lived a very charmed life here to be able to do this for a living for as long as I have. All right, dial us up if you want those tickets, 866-801-0940. The Bucks, remarkably, now have a 3-2 lead over the Phoenix Suns. I keep looking to this. I mean, and this just happened, though, and I attribute this almost exclusively for the result of game number 5, where the Bucks were down 16 in the first quarter and came back hammered the Phoenix Suns in the next two quarters. The Suns disappeared. The Suns make it a game. They get within one, have a chance to take the lead in the game, and Drew Holiday strips from behind my man Devin Booker. And Booker, in spite of having 40 points, ends up making, and this happens once in a while, right, where the guy who's having a great game ends up making that one bozoic play that leads to defeat. And that's what happened there, although you could hardly blame Devin Booker overall for the loss. But Drew Holiday with another big-time defensive play, and he throws the perfect lob to Antetokounmpo, who didn't even travel on this one because he was already airborne, dunks it, and that was the clincher. The Bucks now on top 3-2 with a chance to win their first championship since what? What was that, 1970-something, Luby? That last championship with Kareem and the Big O? Remember that? And then they had to trade Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It was ugly. All right, did we get a winner, Luby, for the tickets? Oh, beautiful. All right, let's pop them on. James, congratulations. You're a winner of the Marlin tickets. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, well, thank you very much. And I want to thank you for being a great entertainer and sports guy, you and Luby both, for many years in Miami. I listen to you guys almost every morning. My daughter actually recites your phone number.
That's
yeah,
great.
Every time you guys announce it, she says it with you, number for number.
That's great.
That's beautiful. Because nobody remembers phone numbers anymore. Like, you can't even remember your mother's phone number at this stage after just pressing a button and having it dial up.
Yeah, man. Well, we appreciate you. We love you guys. We listen almost every morning.
All right, James, hold on. Thanks.
Are you
going
to take your daughter to the game? Because that's a nice little package there, a four-pack of tickets. Those are some nice seats also, I'm assuming, from the radio station.
Unfortunately, she won't quite be back. She's out of town visiting some family up north, but we'll definitely go to another game in the future.
Nice.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, well, congratulations, James. Thank you for the kind words. They are greatly appreciated. And every now and then, just like when Budenholzer told his team, you can do it, you need a little encouragement to just continue in this job, as often it seems like a blind endeavor. Into the dark. Thanks so much for being with us here on the show. Appreciate it. All right, thanks. There you go, Luby. That was good.
Got
one of the tickets. He was a big fan of the show. I'm kind of happy about that. All right, many things happening here. Colin Morikawa, huh? A Star Is Born. If he wasn't born already, that was pretty good. I'm rooting for the wrong guy. That is the most embarrassing thing that could ever happen to you at a racetrack. You'll be rooting for the wrong horse. And you're screaming, okay, yeah, I got this. Wow, it's going to be a monster payoff. And then you look at your ticket and you don't have it. Now, how do you come back and tell your friends who now are looking to borrow money that you didn't hit that race? They don't believe you.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Because you've been very demonstrative there, going crazy, rooting for a horse. And then you realize, oh, geez, that was the wrong horse. It happened to me with Weestazen. I thought I had him for sure. And I debated, never let this happen again. Don't get cute, Luby. Bazooten Hooten, that guy, I don't know, what is he, a Dutchman? Who is this guy?
I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about. You said that name a lot. I can't find his name at all. Especially
when
you had
Spieth
there.
Spieth, who does great in the British Open. What was I thinking? What on earth?
What are you doing?
Those two decisions cost me about $5,000 in this pool.
I rooted all weekend. But, like, the professor had Weesty, and you, in my mind, had Weesty. So all weekend, I was like, all right, Defoe has Morikawa. And we see good. Let them all go head-to-head. Defoe will run away with this thing. I thought you'd be glorious this morning. I was really looking forward to hearing what you had to say. And then when you
I should
like,
have been buying dinner for the entire audience tonight at Even Keeler, one of our fine sponsors.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, I should have been in the money here because that would have been like 40 under just off those top four guys. And my other guys did all right. Jason Cochran came back, rallied a little bit. I think he finished 5 under. Paul Casey, I believe, also was 5 or 6 under. And the only other guy that I had, wasn't too terrible either. So that would have been it. Would have had the top 4 and 3 guys that did all right. And we would have walked away with the cash. Unbelievable. Sorry, Chip. Can't believe I circled those two names. One was by mistake. And the other one, of course, was a huge error in judgment. Because why, Luby? Because I got cute.
Yes, you overthought it.
Overthought it. I don't know why. I figured Spieth was going to blow a gasket this time because everybody was saying he was going to do well. 866-801-0940 on the phone lines. John Congemi goes Dateline Dolphins with us. The Dolphins a week and a day away from opening up training camp. I said earlier, and the only two problems I have with the Dolphins on offense is the running game and the passing game. Can they correct both of those to the point where you feel comfortable that they can be an offensive force? They put up numbers that were really just bamboozling last year. I mean, when you look at the numerology, it wasn't that terrible. But when you look at the games themselves, they were dreadfully boring, weren't they, on offense?
Yep, and they didn't score. That's Fitzpatrick's great thing is he'll move the ball, but he won't get it in the end zone. That's the problem. They need to get touchdowns so they settle for field goals or get nothing.
Are the Washington Generals kidding themselves, though, that Fitzpatrick's going to be their starter? Everybody condemns Fitzpatrick the same way they did Giannis. Although Giannis is much more in his prime, but they say, hey, how many years has this guy been in the league? Like 16? He's never won a postseason game. So how are you going to go to the Super Bowl with him as your quarterback? No matter how much everybody loves him, he's a great guy, very cerebral, blood and guts warrior, very easy to root for, very likable, great teammate. All of the things that you would want in a quarterback, except for the fact that in reality, he turns out to be somewhat of a stiff, no?
Bingo.
And the Washington football team is going to go to the post with Fitzpatrick as their starting quarterback seems like it's just, loaded with self-sabotage for the entire season. Good defense on that club. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby. Lubitz, John Congemi, Dateline Dolphins. Should be fun with John. Brought to you by Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill. We have to try and get a preseason Monday at Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill. No, Luby, I say we start that early.
Let me know.
We'll put the pressure on those guys to cough over a couple of rooms and send us down there. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
No, they're very accommodating. And who better to talk football with than the Jimmer? I love that guy. It's 8:19.
Was that the play you drew up right there towards, Durant to get the LeBron out open for that shot?
Yeah, we wanted to throw it right in over the shoulder with that amount of time on the clock. Let him just take a shot, and he did. Great play.
To be honest, the play that was drawn up, I scratched it. Told coach, just give me the ball.
Were you supposed to inbound on the original play?
I was. I was supposed to take the ball out. I told coach, there's no way I'm taking the ball out unless I could shoot it over the backboard and go in.
The Defoe Show, featuring Luby. Here, we now return to the Defoe Show.
Welcome back to the show. Great to be with you. Peel yourself off the mat Monday here on the ALT Defoe Show, brought to you by Altitude International. We'll take more of your telephone calls if you'd like at 866-801-0940, 866-801-0940. 0940. The Bucks shaking it up over the weekend, go up 3-2 over the Phoenix Suns. Many signs indicating that that was going to be the case. We owe an apology to my good friend who was with us yesterday at the Funky Biscuit 10-year anniversary, the great Piscataway Ray, who came on and actually apologized, Luby, for telling us that he thought the Bucks were a better team. Remember, we laughed at him. We mocked him.
Yes, we owe him an apology.
He said many disparaging things about his ability to analyze basketball, and I still have ringing in my head that kid that was on CBS Sports Radio in the overnight substituting for Amy Lawrence. Listen, usually when I'm driving 12:30 the zone, if I'm going to Gulfstream or Hialeah, I'll pop that on. And this young man obviously had not seen any NBA basketball. And I was tempted to go ahead. I think you could have received 14-1 odds on the Milwaukee Bucks after they were down 2-1 or 2-0 in the series. Was the price that fat, Luby? 14-1? Down 2-0. And that was a time to win load, no? Yeah, I mean, you had to hold out on this thing, especially with all the signs from the gods of gambling, including 220 Tommy declaring that the Suns were going to sweep. And then, how could you not send it in overwhelming fashion, like every dime that you can get your hands on, borrow as much money as you could, and send it in on the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 5 on the money line, getting a price, after you saw Chris Paul being interviewed by Rachel Nichols? Was that not a sign for the ages?
It's over. Yeah, and the funny thing is he didn't play well at all in that game. His stat line wasn't bad because he made some shots in the fourth quarter, but Chris Paul was not good in that game. He was a sieve defensively. He really didn't run the offense at all. Devin Booker was the opposite. Devin Booker was great for 3.5 quarters and then did nothing in the last 5 minutes. So the minute that Paul sat down with Nichols and she's already had her own issues and they bring her back and the first thing she does, it's like the full weight of her kiss of deathness was right in that interview. Everything was on that. Oh, my God. I wouldn't have watched it. Like, I watched that game intently. I wouldn't have watched it at all. I would have been like, oh, there's no way.
Holy Jacinto Vasquez. I mean, you talk about the human anchor. That's what Rachel Nichols was to Chris Paul. I mean, why would you consent to do that? And it was interesting that he had turned down that opportunity earlier to talk to Rachel Nichols,
exactly,
as Grant Long alluded to. He could have dodged this whole thing. Adam Silver needs to look into this. Of course, Rachel Nichols had that jackpot going with Maria Taylor with the secret recording and everything. And, wow, what an embarrassment, huh? ABC, ESPN really has it. You know, I mean, obviously things aren't handled all that well and favorably when, you know, your number's up in radio, Libby. You know that from firsthand experience.
I do.
Where you're the last to know and they escort you out, embarrass you with security. They make you do the perp walk to the ATM machine. Incredible.
Yep.
Where, you know, they march you out there with a security guy to your car and make sure that you get in and drive off the property. How about young Ron, man, when they just spray painted over his name on the company vehicle?
That was great.
It was like the Paul and Young Ron show out there on a couple of the cars in the parking lot, and the next thing you know, it was just the Paul show, which doesn't make any sense, does it? You're assuming if it's the Paul show, it's going to be the Paul Castronova show or something. There'd be another guy involved. And people were so used to that. It's like Defoe and Luby now have become sort of synonymous. Is that not the case? People always ask me how strange you really are. And I don't always have time to embellish the story. Give them really some of the more sordid details. Incredible. Colin Morikawa, congratulations to him. First time ever in the British Open. He wins it. It did not look like the British Open, though, at all. It did not look like the Open. I mean, the course was, as we said and alluded to many times, I don't know why do they refer to golf and golf vernacular, everything is associated with a disease.
Exactly.
Is that by design? Because you would hear the announcers say many times over and over again, especially if you caught the British guys, the course is completely benign out there today. I tell you what, the cancerous elements of the bunkers and all of the rough are not in play today because the wind is not blowing worth a darn. Anyway, Colin Morikawa, who has a PGA championship, now has another major. And it was really a dogfight there until what? About midway through the last round, where Wyest Hazen was in there, Jordan Spieth was making a run, and Morikawa held up just great under the pressure, and he won the thing. John Rahm made a late run, but couldn't get close enough to get into a real contention to win. Hey, Deal Volkswagen, the Forest Files on tap here on 940 Wins, 12:30 The Zone. Marlins baseball later on. They take on the Nationals tonight on the road, and we'll be giving away tickets to that Padres game and the Padres series all week long, so stick with us here. The Greek comes your way at 3 o'clock on 940. And we'll be back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It's 8:30. Carol Chessman had nothing on these guys. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen. Riddle me this. What's smaller than a Tiguan and starts with a T? It's the brand new 2022 Volkswagen Taos. Introducing the newest VW SUV that proves the best things come in small packages. And there's a huge selection of these new babies at Deal Volkswagen right now, where Anna makes buying or leasing a VW so easy. From bold styling to a turbocharged engine to the VW digital cockpit, the Taos truly checks all the boxes. It delivers on what you're looking for, and then some. Available features include driver assistance, App Connect, IQ Drive, rear view camera, touchscreen, nav and 10-color ambient lighting, just to name a few. Start your summer in a brand new 2022 Volkswagen Taos from Deal. They offer outstanding prices, selection, and service. And Anna and the gang will take care of you and no hassles whatsoever. Visit Deal today at the classic location, 3601 Bird Road, or call 305-448-DEEL, or visit DealVolkswagen.com. And you'll be like thousands of happy customers like me and the Mustang that say, it's all about the DEEL. If, like me, you watched a lot of Rain Out Theater as a kid, you no doubt are somewhat familiar with the Carol Chessman story. The basics are they sent Chessman to the gas chamber 8 times and on many of those occasions had already dropped the pellets before a last-second call from the governor would give Chessman a reprieve. The story comes to mind as we await the conclusion of the NBA Championship Series, where the Bucks were more than given up for dead after dropping the first 2 games to the Phoenix Suns. Everything about Milwaukee was in question, including whether or not they even knew how to brew beer in that city. Giannis was being ripped as not being a championship-caliber player. Chris Middleton was viewed as a farcical number 2 talent on a team incapable of going the distance. And Drew Holiday was being dismissed as someone who could not support the offense on a top-caliber team. The team's coach, Mike Budenholzer, was depicted as an overrated stiff who was incapable of making the necessary adjustments to bring Milwaukee back from the grave in this or any other series, unless he got lucky like he did against the Nets, who lost 2 of their 3 top stars to injury after taking a 2-0 lead in the second round and still nearly knocked Milwaukee out of the postseason. Then there was the media, who wrote a continuing lengthy obituary for the Bucks after the first couple of games of this series, ignoring the fact this is the NBA, and the change of venues was likely going to loom large in the outcome of the championship run. Factor in human mush 220 Tommy, who declared Phoenix would sweep after the first couple of games were contested, only to see Milwaukee come back and win the next 3. There's no guarantee the Bucks will ultimately prevail, but after taking Game 5 Saturday night, one would have to certainly embrace their chances. No team or group of players has been given up for dead more often in such a short period of time. It just goes to show you how capable nearly everyone is of making a premature evaluation whenever NBA basketball is involved. Jeff DeForest for the DeForest Files.
Either way, if they can get the right guy to fall, like, could be a coup. So there's a few guys around that area that actually could be really good if they get the right guy, honestly.
It's now time for the Defo Show.
I believe that was your brilliant analysis in the draft that involved Justice Winslow. Mike Lubitz was out where that clip originated.
Yes, because there really wasn't a specific dude they were targeting. And it was just, hopefully someone fell down to them. And the problem is, multiple guys fell down to them. They took the wrong one.
Yes, they fell on their proverbial face by making that pick. While Devin Booker still has a chance. Now, the ultimate ending for this series with the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA would be for the Suns to win Game 6 in improbable fashion now that they're being completely written off and, of course, now operating under the spell cast by the curse of Rachel Nichols on Chris Paul. And that may be, I think that's going to be too much to overcome. But I like stories of redemption. So, and I don't have a huge rooting interest. I put no money on the series. I thought the Suns would have a good shot to win this one against the Milwaukee Bucks. I wasn't overwhelmingly impressed with the Bucks, but they did handle the Miami Heat very easily. They managed to take advantage of a situation there against the Brooklyn Nets, where they came back and won that Game 7 on the road against Kevin Durant, and a brilliant performance there. But the Nets didn't have enough firepower in behind Durant, and Milwaukee prevailed. It would be sweet redemption, would it not? Budenholzer written off as a fool. Giannis, not the superstar that you want leading your ball club. Chris Middleton was one of those guys in the Kyle Korver category. For me, anyway, that even though I'm watching Bucks basketball very infrequently, although they're on TV a lot on a national level because of Giannis, but I never saw Middleton make a shot before this year. I have to say I'm convinced now that he's a much better ball player than I gave him credit for. Either he has become one or was that all along. What do you think, Mike Luby-Lubitz? But Middleton has more than acquitted himself as being an excellent member of any team, especially supporting a superstar like Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Drew Holiday wasn't really all that impressive through the playoffs. I'm thinking, what's the big deal about this guy? But last couple of games, especially this last one, he was great. Is there any chance now, Luby, Mr. Media, I want to book your action, that the Suns come back, win game number 6 tomorrow night? Is that being ruled out as a possibility, and then go home and win game 7? Grant Long said that was going to be the case. Do you see that happening at all?
I think it's possible. I mean, the Suns, to me, still are the overall better team. But Grant said something that I feel like has proven true in these playoffs. When the games have been close near the end, the Suns' youth has failed them. And the Bucks, because they've been in this spot the last 3 to 4 years, seem to be energized at the end of the games, whereas the Suns sort of just let the game slip away. And I think that's the thing you're going to see. When you go to a game 6 facing elimination, the Bucks have 2 shots to close out the series. I just think that's going to be too much for the Suns.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Did you say we have John? This is always a scary proposition to go to a phone call just before the break, because oftentimes the guy hangs up and you're finished, and you end up looking a little bit foolish, much like the people that predicted that the Suns were a cinch to win the series. We go to John. You're on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone. Hello, John.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing? Happy belated birthday.
I'm doing great, John. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
With all the sports, this was a great sports weekend with the with Del Mar and Saratoga opening and the Open, British Open. The basketball has been fantastic. I was wondering, with the Haskell, if the gambling gods were smiling down on you. They had mercy on me with that DQ, and I was wondering if you were going to speak with the talented Caden Bradar, because I sat there, I won on the DQ, but later on it didn't hit me until I thought, like, if that Baffert thing with the Kentucky Derby holds up and Mandaloon wins the Derby, that horse would win 2 grade ones on a DQ.
And, isn't that amazing? Yeah. I don't have that kind of luck either. You got put up in a favorable spot. That's good.
I was only thinking that I know you have immense encyclopedic mind. Has that ever happened in another sport where, like boxing, I would think that maybe a boxer would have won maybe a fight, maybe not a title, but on a DQ?
Fighters have won titles on a DQ. There was a guy in it. Who was he?
Two, though. I mean,
Two. I don't know about two on a DQ. Titles have been won on disqualifications. We've seen that.
Yeah, I remember Tyson and everything. That's.
Yeah, that's not as uncommon as it would be here. I'm going to say that it's very unlikely, and although I wouldn't rule it out. But it seems very unlikely that a horse would win 2 grade one stakes, especially in the same season of this magnitude, by disqualifications in both cases. And the controversy there, of course, came in. There was a lot of bumping in a stretch, and our friend Paco Lopez took what looked like an awful spill in that race. And he apparently is okay through our sources that are close to Paco through DGen Nation. They tell me that Paco actually just shook it off like it was nothing. He ended up getting kicked by a horse that was running from behind as well. So that was ugly, and that whip controversy came up, whether or not the whip is essential for jockeys to have control over their horses as they're running down a stretch. Many people look at it from the animal cruelty standpoint, which, of course, that should be considered. But nonetheless, the jockeys consider the whip to be somewhat of a steering wheel. And we did see some hideous bumping there at Monmouth Park, and a lot of guys, including Jersey Joe Bravo, he of the name Jersey Joe, don't want to ride in these races because they don't feel they have complete control of what's going on, and that would have been really ugly. Paco took a vicious spill in that race, and that would have been all the talk of the thing. But, I would have to check into that. And maybe one of our horse racing historians would know, had a horse ever won two grade ones via disqualification, and especially in the same season. But very interesting. I'm glad you got put up.
Made my weekend.
Yeah. I couldn't have been in any rougher shape. I thought I had circled Wiesthazen in the golf pool on a British Open, and I debated right to the last second whether or not to take Jordan Spieth. And had I done that, and Luby thought I was going to be in for a celebration this morning, that we would have won this tournament by like 50 shots. But unfortunately, we went downhill there, and then Jersey Kyle gave out his namesake, Martinez, as his degenerate stimulus package horse of the century. And we invested a significant amount of money in that, in various pick threes, fours, and fives, and went up in smoke in the very first leg, which is always a bitter disappointment, right, to lose the first leg and then hit the other four.
Oh, yeah.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, I had that yesterday with the pick five at Saratoga. It was not. But that's why.
But we have all this in action. You're right. It's a glorious time of the year. Many great sporting events taking place. And then if you're a degenerate horse player like most of us are, you have Del Mar Saratoga going. You can't beat it. Live racing at Gulfstream. You can punch away at Hialeah Park. It's all great. Thanks so much for the call, John. Appreciate it. We'll look into that.
All right. Hey, I love the trivia challenge on Saturday. I never miss it as well. And you take care and have a great week.
All right. Thanks so much. A lot of high praise for the work we're doing, Mike Libby-Libbitz. Of course, it's only been two guys giving their opinion.
Actually, it's funny. I went out for dinner to celebrate the legendary Michelle Libby-Libbitz Friday with Shirley, my dad, my mom, and me. Went to a place, Bonefish Max. We both have referenced.
Yes,
they have them all over South Florida.
I like that place, yeah.
There's one right by where we live in Cold Springs. So we're there, and this guy, as he's leaving, is like, love the show, by the way. And I don't know this guy. Like, I really don't know him. And I'm like, all right, thanks. Yep, yep. He's like, no, I love you guys. And Shirley, I know you from the pictures. And I'm like, what? Who is it? I'm like, all righty, thank you. He's like, you guys do a great job. We listen every day. My name's Richard.
Nice.
So, Richard, thank you for listening. And yeah, so I don't know what it is, because it usually scares us when we hear praise. It's actually our nightmare, but we appreciate it. And thank you, everyone who does listen to us each and every day.
Fantastic. No, we got a shout-out yesterday, too, at the 10-year anniversary of the Funky Biscuit.
Nice.
Poliak mentioned me.
Nice.
And a couple of people in the audience actually reacted. They're like, yeah, he's still around. Nice. That was great. No, a lot of love being displayed there at the Funky Biscuit. And congratulations, Al Poliak. I do remember when he was there on a Tuesday night with a cell phone, and he's looking at an audience of four people to see some world-class act. There's like three, four people in the crowd there, and Al's on the phone going, now, what do you mean 8%? I can't afford that kind of juice. Trying to save this place, and wow, 10 years later, still great. Many of my finest entertainment experiences have taken place at the Funky Biscuit, including last night, so congratulations to our good friend Al Poliak on that. It's the ALT Defoe Show, brought to you by Altitude International. John Kajemi goes Dateline Dolphins, brought to you by Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill, Key Largo. We can't wait to get down there. John will tell us more about it. And also a zero-in training camp. It's on the horizon. What's your biggest problem with the Miami Dolphins, Luby? Is it like me, the running game and the passing game on offense? Just those two things.
Just those
they
two.
They can sort that out. I think we're going to have a big season this year. And now this X-Man thing, I don't know. You're saying they're going to trade the guy? I can't even imagine that. Can you? This kid was terrific last year. Every time he threw the ball in the air, you thought that Xavier Howard was going to pick it off, no?
Oh, and that's the thing. It wasn't just the gimme ones that you get credit for. He made literal plays where you thought the receiver was open, and he would come out of nowhere and steal the ball. Like, he was spectacular.
He was great. I mean, Patrick Surtain, Sam Madison notwithstanding, that was one of the best seasons we've ever seen by a Dolphin corner ever, was it not? Can't lose this guy.
Honestly, no, it was tremendous. It makes me sad. I understand you got to get your money when you can, but this is one where I actually side with the team. They've done everything they can to show him that they love him and they appreciate him. You're not going to get a raise every year. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but when they brought in Byron Jones and they paid him all that money, Jimmer himself said to me many times while doing broadcasts out there at training camp, you always overpay in free agency. Now, don't players understand that are currently under contract? They take these long-term deals thinking they're favorable deals. You know that somewhere along the line, if the team wants to attempt to get better and they're going to sign a free agent, they're going to pay ridiculous boxcar numbers for a player that may not be the best guy at the position on the team. You would think that that would be understandable. But what do you think the X-Man's agents are saying to him every day? Can you believe this Jones guy is getting all that cash?
That's exactly what they're saying.
Is it going like that?
They're signing a guy on the Miami Dolphins? We'll ask Tesla tomorrow, but I feel like Tesla's not that guy. But I think there are plenty of agents that do that. The minute another, like, cha-ching, all right, let's go. And it's like, dude, at some point, I mean, just play. You'll get your. The Dolphins have shown he'll get paid if he plays.
You would think. All right, we hope they resolve that. Dateline Dolphins training camp opens up a week from tomorrow for the Miami Dolphins. Marlins playing tonight on the radio stations, and we really need them to come around for the deal Volkswagen run for 71. That took a serious jolt yesterday, huh? You needed 5 minutes to go to the corner and recover, didn't you? That was really below the belt. Real Muto hitting a home run, walk off in the first conclusion of the game that was suspended on Saturday, and then they lose the second game, coming from ahead to do so after they had a 4-2 lead. They lose it 7-4, so the Phillies win 3 out of 4 over the weekend over our Miami Marlins, who need to get the ship straightened out and are going to be having problems, huh? I mean, a lot of injuries now. Everybody's going for x-rays and MRIs, and Pablo on the injured list now. It has to feel strange, huh? Doesn't Don Mattingly have to feel like he's filling out or signing a plea deal or something when he turns the scorecard in with the pitchers? It's kind of like one of those deals that you're very reluctant to sign.
Yes.
You know, it's not going to be favorable no matter how it turns out, even if it seems that way. Nah, it's the best deal we could make here. You're getting probation and a small fine.
He's like sheepish.
But
he looks
still
down.
Don't feel like signing him. Yeah, and like you go to some used car lot on, 441 or something, and you sign up for the buy here, pay here program, and then you realize the juice is like 28%, and it starts now. Reluctant to sign that paperwork. He has to be reluctant, Mattingly, to fill out the scorecard. He's got two starters, and the rest is makeshift patchwork the rest of the way. It's tough. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Now, the plea deal was probably the best example there. Oh, he's hairy. There's no guarantee the judge is going to enter this. Oh, okay. It's 8:53.
Dame time in Miami. Uh-oh. More on that next. Hurricane season is here. Recently, we realized it's not just hurricane season that can hurt us. My in-laws had a pipe burst in their home. Our hotel for our wedding weekend had the main pipe burst. Any time of year, things can happen to your home or business. And the insurance company can be your friend, but they also can be your enemy. Horizon Public Adjusters, Justina Testa, are here for you to help this process go so much easier. Before you call the insurance company, call Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa at 954-809-8752. Would you go into court without an attorney? No. So why would you go up against an insurance company without Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa? First of all, they give you a free 11-point inspection, 7 to 10 times more money recovered with a public adjuster than if you went on your own. If there's no recovery, there's no fee. They work for you, not the insurance company. They'll minimize your stress and maximize your claim. Any and all insurance claims, Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa are here for you. Give them a call at 954-809-8752. Why go up against insurance companies alone when you can have Horizon Public Adjusters and Justina Testa on your side?
State of Florida versus Casey Marie Anthony. We, the jury, find the defendant not guilty.
The law, my boy, puts us into everything. It's the ultimate backstage pass.
What person? Charging the defendant, Aaron Hernandez. What say you, Madam Foreperson?
Guilty.
Just the facts, ma'am.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, all the truth, nothing but the truth?
Certainly! What have I got to lose?
Don't believe a word he says, Your Honor. He's crazy!
Hey, so I know we're in the middle of the NBA Finals. It feels like this series is very strongly weighted toward the Bucks. The Dolphins open up camp in a week or so. But there's a lot going on in the world of sports. The Marlins are in the middle of their season. But to me, I can't stop paying attention to what could be for the Miami Heat. And the murmurs keep growing. Dame Lillard now has not officially asked for a trade, but there are now rumors saying he is soon to ask for a trade. And one of the teams he is looking at is the Miami Heat. When you look at the other teams that are there, to me, the Bucks, I don't know what they could offer that you would actually want if you're the Blazers. yes, playing alongside Giannis would be the perfect complement for Dame Lillard and vice versa. But why would you want to be in Milwaukee? That one's weird to me. The Knicks. Yeah, the Knicks were good this year. The Knicks really weren't that good. What the Knicks were better, and everyone in the East got hurt. So it was a combination that made the Knicks look better than they really are. Julius Randle's really a third or fourth guy. And everyone else they have there is eh. So if you're a Damian Lillard, why would you want to go to New York? You're not going to win. Like, Damian Lillard with the Knicks is still worse than Damian Lillard with the Blazers. Miami Heat, however, are interesting because the Heat have young guys in Achiuwa and Opala that are showing some signs. They have a hero who's shown that he can shine on the brightest stages. They can find draft picks in the future. So you would think they could combine that with an Iguodala, a guy that has a nice contract, and make the money work. And plus, if you can keep Bam and you can keep Jimmy Butler, you throw Dame. To me, that's the best group in the Eastern Conference. The Nets are close, but the Nets have injury issues that he would be an instant contender. The issue here is the name Bam Adebayo keeps popping up. And if you're the Miami Heat, you can't trade Bam. The guy, he still hasn't even gotten near his ceiling. And what makes getting Damian Lillard a big move is that you keep Bam and Jimmy Butler. So Luby's Law for today is, I don't know if the Heat are going to be able to get Damian Lillard. However, once he requests a trade, which seems like it's impending in the next few days, if you're the Miami Heat, you do everything you can to get Damian Lillard and keep Bam and Jimmy, because if you can, he would be right there as contenders in the NBA. This is Luby's Law.
LeBron de tres en camino. ¡Sí, señor! ¡El rey! LeBron James tiene 34 puntos.
Grab a bagel and a schmear, plus some Defoe and Luby. Welcome back to the Defoe Show.
Very concise, Luby's Law. Let's hope it doesn't come under the heading of Dream On, my friend. And we're coming back. A little Dateline Dolphins right around the corner. You can sniff the smell of liniment and sweat as you have the Dolphins getting ready for training camp. And that gets underway a week from Tuesday, and then it's going to be open up to the public a week from Friday for the first public viewing of a workout of the Miami Dolphins, where you wonder, how the hell did he get in shape just doing this? It really looks like an arts and crafts session there with some day camp for a six-year-old. Did you make your little lantern yet? Oh, okay, good. Yeah, that looks good, Johnny. They're talking to Offerdahl. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Doesn't seem like they do much in training camp. It's 9:03.